I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Brother Bryant read that passage of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. It's profitable. Reproof, rebuke, correction. The Spirit of God moved upon a man named Solomon. We've been looking at Proverbs now for many years, verse by verse. We're now in the 29th chapter, and I'd like to read verse 14. And may we remember, be made to remember, God wrote this. The Spirit of God wrote this for our instruction. Proverbs 29:14, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Now, our passage this evening begins with the description of the king who is, number one, holy, honorable, glorious, and faithful. The king. The king that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The king who is God. Hold your place there and turn with me to Jeremiah 10, 10. Jeremiah 10, verse 10. The Spirit of God, through the prophet Jeremiah, revealed unto us this precious truth. Jeremiah 10, 10. But the Lord, Jehovah, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Now, this is what the Spirit of God has revealed unto us concerning the King, who is God. It says in Jeremiah 10:10, but the Lord, Jehovah, the King that we worship, is the God of particular electing grace. The Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps. He is the King. He's the Lord of electing, particular electing. He is the Lord of particular redeeming grace. He shed his blood for his people, and his blood satisfied and finished and answered. He is the Lord who is the redeeming King. He is the King. Jehovah is, the scripture says in verse 10, the Lord is the true. He's the God of truth, is what my margin says. The God of truth. He is the true God. He's the true God. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. I was reading over this verse of scripture right here, and if you've got words in there that are italicized, you know that those were added to help to understand. And sometimes they seem to me to not give as good an understanding as just reading the words that the Spirit of God there. I'm going to read Isaiah 45, and I'm going to just try to read just verses 5 to 7. And I'm going to read what the Spirit of God wrote there and what the men that added for our help, the italicized words, I'll hold off. Isaiah 45, verse 5, I, the Lord, and none else. No God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that none beside me. I, the Lord, and none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. There's none else, he said. I, the Lord. All other so-called little g gods don't exist. He said, I, the Lord, none else. There is figments of men's imaginations. They're vapors. They're imaginary. They're play-like. And they are called by those that know not the true God. They call their little g gods, they call him God. But it's a God that is not found in this book. There's one God, and he's sovereign, and he's God, and he's the true God. The scripture says that he is, back in Jeremiah 10:10, concerning the king who is God. Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord, the true God, he is the living God. He is the fountain of life. He is the fountain from which all life is. Life that remains on this earth until he decides, he determines, it's no more on this earth. God's people worship him who is God, the Spirit. Now, he thinks, he wills, he speaks, he remembers, he directs, he works. He is the living God. He said, I am that I am. The self-existent one. Hold your place there in Jeremiah and turn with me to Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. Now this is what the Lord says. Revelation 1:18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So the king that we worship, the Lord, the king, back in Jeremiah 10:10, the Lord is the true God. He's the living God and an everlasting king. He's eternal, unchanging, immutable. He doesn't change. And he's active. He's present. This may sound so as if to say that's just absolutely understood. Everybody knows that, but he's real. Real. Now, I'm telling you, that is a revelation. God is. He is an everlasting king. He's active. He's present. He's not only the creator of all things, but he rules all things. He orders all things. I've heard not a leaf falls from a tree. And someone says, well, you know, there is a limit. On what? No, no. He worketh all things. Not a breeze blows, not a sparrow falls, except your Father knows it. He's ever present, ordering all things for the accomplishment of the salvation of his people. That's what the Lord said. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Everything that's going on in this world that I foolishly allow to upset me. When I say, how in the world could they do that? How could they do that? All things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Our God is the everlasting King, the living God, and all worship of him that is born to our hearts to have the respect and honor of that which he's done, that what who he is, and that what he's doing for us and through us through the Lord Jesus Christ, revealing that to us by the grace of God. He's God. And then Jeremiah, the last part of Jeremiah 10:10 says this, and at his wrath, the earth shall tremble, the nation shall not be able to abide, that is to sustain or endure his indignation. That last part of that verse, turn over to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. Revelation chapter 6, verses 16, 17. I'm going to read starting 15. 15, 16, 17 of Revelation 6. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? This portion reveals to us that there's coming a day when men, women, who have looked to their hope of life in an imaginary God, for hope in their works, they're going to realize in that moment that all of the wickedness of their works, self-righteous works, will not answer for them before God. They won't. I've told you before, the very phrase, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I don't know the depth of that. I don't know. I can't enter into that, because it's going to be so horrible that men will not be able to contain it. Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I mean, the Spirit of God moved on the writer to make that statement, the grinding of the teeth, the gnashing of teeth, the horror of realizing I am standing before God who is going to cast me out forever, forever. And they find all their hope, false hope, was nothing more than a mirage, just a vapor. Just evaporated, and they cried to the mountains and rocks of that which they thought was their security, being able to hide themselves from the wrath of God. When they always heard about the wrath of God. They knew that it was coming. They've heard about the judgment of God, that there was going to be a day when they were going to stand, men are going to stand before God. When they realized the day is here, they realize that they have no hope. They have no cover for their indignation against the living God. Proverbs 29:14 says, Jeremiah 10:10, I'm sorry, that the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Our God is king. He's the king. But not only is he the king, back in Proverbs 29:14, the king that faithfully judgeth the poor. Not only is he revealed by the Spirit of God to be king, but he's the judge. He's the judge. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor. Turn with me to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, 23. Whenever the Lord sent two angels into Sodom to spy out, to see the state of that city, Abraham, who was standing with the Lord, knowing that it was the Lord before whom he stood, the judge of all the earth, and he asked this question to the Lord, who he knew to be the judge. And he asked him about judgment, the judgment of a case. He was going in there to see. And this is what Genesis 18:23-25 says. And Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Shall not the judge of all the earth decide a case in righteousness? The king who is the faithful judge shall judge all men according to the scripture faithfully, reliably. It's going to be reliable. When we stand before the Lord, it's going to be a reliable judgment. Based on what? You've seen this one. We've quoted it. Turn with me to Revelation 20. This is going to be the standard. Now, here's what's going to happen. We've considered this passage, read this passage, heard this passage, and this is what's going to happen. Now, don't ask me if there's going to be actual physical books. I'm going to tell you what Scripture says. I think the books are the remembrance and the knowledge of God. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12. "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them, no place to hide." You've heard me say that so many times. You know, it just amazes me, even as I read that passage right now, the face of the one that sits on that great white throne, the face of him, the earth, they don't want to deal with him. They don't want to deal with him. He's the judge now. The earth, those without God, they don't want to deal with him. They don't want to, but they're going to. They're going to. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." The dead. Listen to me. Let me listen to me. Let me say what this book says. Everything about us is recorded. Everything about us is recorded and known, remembered. Everything. Every thought, every attitude, every word, Everything. When we stand before God, there's no disguises. Nothing's going to be swept under the rug. There's not going to be any deceptions concerning man's character before the omniscient judge. Every man, every woman that leaves this world spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, but I want to say it again. Spiritually dead. They have never bowed in heart to Christ. They've never bowed before Him. They've never trusted Him. They've never loved Him. They've never longed after Him. They've never sought Him. All that they do, those that do so by the grace of God. You've got to give them a new heart. They're not going to do it from a dead heart. They're dead. But those that have left this world, left to themselves, they've heard the gospel, they've seen nature, but they've left this world and they've rejected, denied, despised the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they stand before God. And this it's going to be a real day. It's going to be a day in which this is going to happen. And a day that God's people are going to remember. I remember hearing about this day. And here we are. And the books of God's omniscience concerning men's works are going to be opened. And I think, what a day this is going to be. This is going to happen in every person that's ever lived on this earth. And left this world without Christ. Everything is going to be exposed about every one of them. And there'll be how many? No man can number. God knows. And all of the books of man's rejection of the glory of Almighty God. Rejection of man's conscience. He knows right from wrong. Every time that he ever heard the gospel, I think about that passage of scripture when the Lord says, oh Bethsaida, oh Chorazin, if the mighty works done here had been done in Sodom would have remained until this day. That passage is, I can't even enter into the depth of that, except the Lord says if they had heard it, they would have repented and it would have remained until it had been a Sodom right now. All of this is going to be opened up. And every thought of rejection by man, every time someone heard the gospel and refused to bow, and the whole of man's refusal, everything, it's going to be opened up. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 14, 15. Matthew 10. Isn't it amazing that Almighty God would tell us all this beforehand? Matthew 10, 14 and 15. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that city, or that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, who went through the wickedness of that city and experienced the judgment of God. God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven and burn them up. And then those all left to themselves, I know Lot came out. There was a few. But not only did they suffer that immediate judgment, now they're going to stand before God and God's going to put them in hell. And he said it's going to be more tolerable for them in hell. than it will be for you. Those that refuse to hear, it is dangerous. I think about people that have come and sat here and left. I'll not hear that anymore. I'll not hear that anymore. Do you realize how dangerous that is? How eternal that is if you leave this world? But there's going to be another book. There's going to be another book. Praise the Lord. And it's from that book that those referred to back in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 14. The poor. The poor. That word poor right there, I looked it up. If you're looking at poor in verse 13, we dealt with this last time I was in Proverbs. The poor and the deceitful man meet together, and the Lord lighteneth both their eyes. I looked up that word poor in verse 13, and it's talking about those that just don't have much in this world. That's what that word poor means. The word in 14, the king that faithfully judges the poor, it's a different word. It's not the same word poor. It's translated poor in English, but it's not the same word. The word in verse 13 is a noun. And the poor in verse 14 is an adjective. I'm sorry, the first one is a verb in verse 13. It's a verb. And the one in verse 14, that king that faithfully judges the poor, it's a descriptive word. It's describing somebody. In verse 14, that's where we are right here. It's an adjective that describes the character of those that are being judged, faithfully judged. These are the poor in spirit. These that are they that have been made to see themselves as helpless, spiritually helpless, low, reduced in ability and weak. Those that's been made to see Christ, the book of life himself, to be their only hope. This is all the hope I have. And they lay all their hope in one man, the king, who is the judge that's going to judge them. And when he judges them, when he faithfully judges them, he faithfully, and they're found in him, written in him, from before the foundation of the world, he's going to judge them in absolute reliability. It's going to be reliable. And the book are open. The book's open. And all found written in that book, for them, this is the record, for them. He who is the king, who is God, who is the judge, and here's a reliable verdict. All of their sin was borne by the judge. By the King himself, the Redeemer, the Messiah, one and the same. He took all of their sin and he made it to be his own. And he went before God and laid down his life. He bore himself toward the law, before the law of God, making himself answerable. And the law that beheld him, where sin was found, not a sinner was found, sin was found. And the law demanded justice, judgment. And the law's demand for justice was satisfied. And he suffered the penalty. Here was the marvelousness of his sacrifice. All that eternity would never pay for those that left without Christ. Eternity, the fires of hell will never pay the debt Never, never. Men, women that leave this world sinned against an eternal God, and eternity is their due, separated from Him. And it'll never be paid. It'll never be paid. Never be paid. But by one sacrifice for sin, one sacrifice. The Father said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And this is all recorded and written in the book of life Himself. He who paid their debt suffered their due. Now here's the verdict. He's the King that faithfully judgeth the poor. They have no record. There's no record. Here's the book, and it's Christ Himself. And here's His faithfulness. He paid all the debt. His righteousness was earned and satisfied the law's demand for righteousness, and all that's written in Him. Here's what God sees. The book of life Himself. No record. There's no infraction here. They're justified before God. The Scripture says this concerning them. There's therefore now. Oh, in that day, there will be no condemnation then. There's no condemnation now. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ephesians 1, I hold your place there, and I'm going to begin wrapping this up. Ephesians chapter 1. Here's what the Scripture says. Concerning those that Almighty God has everlastingly loved and chosen. Ephesians 1:4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. No blame. No debt. No charge. Those who die in the faith, they make no claim for any works on their part. By what the Scripture sets forth is the work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. Saved. The judge who is also the king, the high priest of the people that He's everlastingly loved, when He faithfully judges the poor, it's reliable. He faithfully did it. There was nothing unfaithful about it. He gave Himself for them. His blood answers for them. And here's what it says in closing. In Proverbs 29:14, last part. His throne shall be established forever. Forever. His throne is set. It's fixed. It's firm. The throne of the King who faithfully judgeth. His throne. All the subjects of His kingdom, to whom eternal life has been given, those to whom the Lord has given His word, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. They will never perish. You think about this. That's all we got. We got His word. His word. And that's all we need. His word's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. He said, turn over to John 10, and I'll stop. John 10. John 10, 27, 28, 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. His throne is established. He's going to judge. He's going to do it faithfully. It's going to be right. It's going to be according to the books of his remembrance and the book of his beloved Son. And he's going to judge the poor, those that have been made to cast themselves upon him. It's going to be fair, fair. When he died fairly. He bore their sins, and God was fair. Read this, and I really will close. Psalm 72, verse 4. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Beloved, if the Lord given you a heart of need, I need for God to save me. Don't wait on me. I need him to save me. Save me by grace. Save me forever. Save me for your glory and my eternal good. For Christ's sake. Amen. Okay.